Blog Talk Radio.
Circumstances and all your situations it doesn't seem like he's there. It doesn't seem like he's doing anything. But in reality, he is right there, blessing you, watching over you, taking care of you, providing for you, making a way better than it was before. Good evening, my brothers and sisters. It is I, your host, Elder Willie J. Van Jr., bringing you greetings from the nation's capital of Washington, D.C., the Northeast Corridor of this great city. I bring you greetings in the name of our Father. We praise God for who he is and what he is doing and how he has blessed you to come and be with us this evening. We are so grateful for another wonderful Wednesday night. We thank God for Reconciliation Ministries. We thank God for Omega Ministry Group. And we praise God that there is a partnership between the two that God has blessed and made a way out of no way. That God is providing that way, and God has done so many great things for us. We thank God for the leaders of Omega Ministry Group, good Reverend Dr. Jesse Storr and his wife. I would say Reverend Tammy Storr. They are a great couple who God has done mighty and wonderful things for them, provided and blessed them. We want to thank God for each and every one of you all. Last week, we know that we had to end a little early due to circumstances beyond my control. But I just wanted to tell everybody I appreciate you being on the line. Well, without further ado, we understand that one of our greatest tools, our weapons, that God has provided to us and for us, it is prayer. Prayer is our communication between us and God. It is one of the ways, the greatest ways, that we communicate. So without further ado, why don't we just spend a moment or two tapping into that power. Let us pray. We are so grateful, Lord God, for, first of all, how you've forgiven us for our sins. We are so grateful and thankful that you have provided grace and mercy in our lives. We are so grateful and so thankful that we have an attitude of gratitude. Lord God, we know that we are not worthy. We know that it is nothing that we've done ourselves, but it's only because of what you've done. So God, we are so grateful and want to just say thank you. We thank you, Lord God, for those who are listening live and then those who are listening to the rebroadcast. And Lord God, we pray that tonight's lesson will be a blessing, and that it will push us to a better position and place with you. We thank you for our relationship with you. And not our religion, but our relationship. Because that's what it's about, relationship. Lord God, thank you for life and life more abundantly. We thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to be able to have technology to reach out and study your word and then share your word. We understand, Lord God, that we are the conduit of who you are, that it is not we ourselves who, but you are the power source. Lord God, thank you. And though there might be times that we don't feel adequate enough, though there are times that we don't feel that it should be us, you remind us that you give your gifts freely, that you are the one who chooses us, We thank you, Lord God, for choosing us. We thank you for creating us so we can be chosen. Lord God, we ask that you continue to bless all those who might be incarcerated. Lord God, allow them to, though they are locked up, they're never locked away from your love. Bless those who might be in a hospital bed right at this moment, who might be on the sick bed. We know that this disease, this pandemic, COVID-19, is running rampant, and that it is trying to kill. But we know that your love and your healing power is far much greater. So, Lord God, allow your healing power, your grace and your mercy to protect us. And though we might get sick, it is not unto death. We know that it is just another opportunity for us to testify how great you are and how great you've been to us in our lives. Lord God, I ask that you bless my brother, Warren Van. Continue to heal him. I ask that you bless my niece, April, and her fiance, Josh. I ask that you continue to bless my boy, Al Winkler, my boy, Tony Summers. Lord God, thank you. Lord God, we give you honor, we give you praise. Lord God, we know that you are working it out for the greater good. And for that, we just say again, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Want to go over, last week we spoke about, last week we spoke about being in the hands of God, that the last word on the cross that Jesus spoke was that he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And we talked about the fact that the best place for him and the best place for us to ever have been is in the hands of God. So, we want to discuss a message that God had given me some time ago, talking about the biggest lie in the church. The biggest lie in the church. I know that there is a very intriguing topic or subject matter, but let me tell you what the biggest lie kingdom. The biggest lie is that when you give your life to Jesus, all your problems, stress, hurt, and frustration will go away. I know most people will not tell you this, but it is a lie. Now, it doesn't mean that God will not do all of this, or he doesn't have the power and authority to do this. And it's not even saying that he had not, has not, or will not. But to think that you are, when you first give your life to Christ, that everything is going to be all right, and that Satan is not going to be upset, and you are not going to have issues, is a complete lie. And I want to tell you today that it's untrue. God never said or promised that he would make it rain or make it sun. That he would make it sunny every day. There comes a time where, as the word says, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And let me also explain, if there's never any rain, then there's really no growth. If there's no rain, then it is a desolate and a dried up place, a desert. So the rain comes sometimes to put us in a place of moisture and a place of life and growth. I know you might believe that when people badmouth you, or when they don't tell the truth about who you are and what you say is the biggest lie. On the other hand, when people have said they have done something, but in reality they haven't done it, is the biggest lie. Or even you might have used the scriptures out of context, and you know the word doesn't mean what you say it means, is the biggest lie. But the biggest lie is, the biggest lie in church is, when you give your life to Christ, all your problems, all your stress, all your hurt, all your frustrations will go away. In the following scriptures, we are going to expose the truth about this lie so that we can have a better understanding about life. So let me set up a situation for you to understand. When you give your life to Christ or join a church, we experience an emotional high. But after a while, when we come down and reality starts to set in and never come back to the church, have you ever known someone to join the church right after a funeral or homegoing service? Or maybe they joined the church because the choir sang so and it moved them to tears. And yet, during that week, when something goes wrong or goes awry, then they decide that they don't want to come back. Or after a while, it seems like things don't change in your life. And you have this conversation with God and say, God, I joined the church. I'm going to church. I'm reading my Bible. Why isn't things changing? Why are things still the same? So they get frustrated. And in their frustration, they decide that they're not going to go back. We have to realize that it's not about religion, but it's about relationship. God is calling us to a relationship. We must first believe in what John 3:16-17 says. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus' whole purpose and ministry was about dying for our sins so we could be reconnected back to God. You understand that in the garden where Adam and Eve reside, our relationship with God was broken. And the only way to God was through sacrifices. Jesus has become time where all throughout the Old Testament that men and women, priests, would make all different types of sacrifices in atonement for their sins. But then comes along this man named Jesus, who tells us that he is the Son of Man. I mean, he is the Son of God, but also the Son of Man, that he has come to restore our relationship back to God. And there were so many people that followed him. But yet, those who were in leadership thought about the fact that if the people start believing in Jesus, and if the people start believing and understanding that we have a relationship with God, and it's not based upon what we killed or what we sacrificed, then we are cutting into the business of those who are in leadership at the church or then the synagogue. So that put those people who were in leadership in a position where the people said, I no longer need you, because I can have a relationship and talk to the Father, and I don't need a middleman. So the biggest lie is that God is going to take away all of our hurts and our problems and our frustrations. But the first thing we have to realize is that God allowed his Son to be our ultimate sacrifice. And being the ultimate sacrifice, there's no need for any other sacrifice. There's no need for anything or anyone else besides God. And then God has allowed us, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to live a life where God will get the honor. So it's not about the sacrifices, but it's about the fact that God has allowed Jesus to our lives and give us and repair our relationship. So that's our first step, is realizing that I no longer need an intercessor, because Jesus is the ultimate intercessor. What we're going to do is take a quick pause, and we'll be right back.
Many times in life, we focus on all that we don't have, and it makes us worry. But today, I want to remind you of the one that you do have, and let you know that he's still able.
I've been hurt and abused, even lied to by the ones I trust in most. I've had some nights I cried more than I prayed. That's when God said to me, I am still.
It changed my perspective, and so
now the worry is over,
yes.
And the doubt is gone away. God reminded me,
he reminded me
that he's still able. God reminded me
that in spite of it all,
that he's still able.
Thank you, Lord. Question.
I'm afraid to carry this hurt all alone.
Today, more than ever,
I need your help, Lord. With you, I can't move on. Now the worry is over, and the doubt is gone away.
You're not alone.
Because
God reminded
me
that he's still able.
Amen. God is reminding us that he is still able to take care of you and do the right thing. In the second half of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, it reads, God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. This is an unconditional promise, which means no matter what condition we are in, God is right there with us, holding up his end of the bargain. We understand that even if we mess up, like the nation of Israel, he will bring judgment on us, but will not destroy us or cast us away. You got to understand and know that just as he did, he takes care of his children. I was thinking about the fact that as an adult or as a parent, there are times in our lives, and I'm not a parent, and let me say this, but I have raised children and help and assist raising children. And I have plenty of nieces and nephews and godchildren. And throughout their lives, there have been times that they have disappointed me, times that I've been so disgusted with them. And there's times that I've been hurt. And sometimes they have disrespected me. And though I had to bring punishment, though I had to bring some sort of retribution or spanking, because the Bible does say, spare the rod, hate the child, not spoil, but hate the child. So if I don't beat you, then I'm hating you. Because I want you to do better. I want you to be better. So there are times that I have to punish you. Not destroy you. Not to kill you. Though sometimes when my grandmother would punish me and whip me or whoop me, it felt like she was killing me. But in reality, it was for my greater good. Because of the fact that I should have done better. I should not have done what they told me that I should not have done. And so it is, very simple illustration. So it is our relationship with God. God has given us our commandments, not just the 10, because there are so many more, tells us and he speaks to us. He tells us what to do. And he gives us choices. And it's up to us to decide what we're going to do. Are we going to be obedient to his word and to his ways and to his will? Or are we going to do it our way? So it comes a time that our Father will have to put us in time out. And when you look all throughout the Old Testament, you see the nation of Israel, though as much as God loved them, because of their disobedience, God let plagues and he let people come in and take over and then make those people enslaved or make them slaves. So it was a constant thing where the people would do right, then they would get lax. Then God would allow some nation to invade them. They would then become slaves, and then they would pray, and then God would save them. And after he saved them, then he will go ahead and restore them. And so it is how one of the truths that we have. The first truth is that God is our intercessor. And that God, or rather Jesus, has become to be sacrificed. The second truth is that, as his word says, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. That Jesus has, because he has become our sacrifice, now means that we have a relationship back to the Father, and the Father is obligated to take care of his child. And I don't know about you, but it's a wonderful thing to be spoiled by your Father. I mean, there were times where my biological father, Willie J. Van Sr., would take my brothers and I out shopping and would allow us to get what we want to get. And it felt so good to know that he cared for us. So he took us out and gave us what we wanted, but he mainly gave us what we needed. And so it is with our Heavenly Father. God will give you what you need, but as his words say, if you walk upright, he'll give you the desires of your heart. He'll give you some of your wants. But it's a conditional or unconditional promise. Because we have to allow God, we have to be obedient to God and realize that he's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. And though it feels like we are getting killed, that we are getting beat, God is right there holding us up. The third and final truth is found in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. It reads, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for the adoption of sonship through Christ Jesus, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the ones he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. right? So we read a little bit into 8, but it's really Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. And this tells us how blessed we really are and what Jesus has done for us, his sons, or rather his younger brothers and sisters. Because he has predestined for the adoption of sonship. That's what God has done. Let's read the New Century Version of that same scripture. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ, God has given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world. That is, in Christ, he chose us before the world was made so that we would be his holy people, people without blame before him. Because of his love, God had already decided to make us his own children through Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ. That was what he wanted and what pleased him. And it brings praise to God because of his wonderful grace. God gave that grace to us freely in Christ, the one he loves. In Christ, we are set free by the blood of his death. And so we have forgiveness of sin, which is God's grace, which he has given to us fully and freely. So we thank God because of his death. We now have this adoption into the family. And because we have this adoption into the family, God is taking care of us. So we thank God, and it shows us that we are so blessed. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 12, it's called the Beatitudes. And we know that the Beatitudes shows us how blessed we are in all different scenarios or situations. So now you might be asking yourself, what about that lie? Well, I'm glad you asked, because we believe Jesus is our Redeemer, and because of that, God will never forsake us. Moreover, because he will never forsake us, we are blessed. Jesus never promised to take all of our burdens away. He will give you peace to deal with the dilemma. He will give you strength to deal with the stress. He will hug you to comfort your hurt. He will help you fight through any frustration. Sometimes we will go through, so we will know our place with God. We are a creation. We are the creation and not the creator. And sometimes it is just a test of our faith. So the next time someone asks you, how is it being a Christian? Be honest and tell them. And tell them that it's tough sometimes. But as God's word says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord God, for this word, understanding that the biggest lie in the kingdom, in the church, is that we will never have problems or situations or hurts or frustrations. But we just read how Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. And that because he has become our ultimate sacrifice, we have a place and a position in the family because we are now connected back to the Father. And because we are a part of the family and because we are connected to the family and God is now our Father, we have to realize just how blessed we are. And it doesn't mean because we are blessed that we're never going to have any problems, we're never going to have any situations or tests. It just means that it's a test. But now we have something that we can brag about. Now we can go out into the world and say, I used to do this, or I used to go to these places, or I used to do whatever. But now, because I have accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and because of what he did, I am now have a relationship back to the Father. And I'm now empowered by the Holy Spirit to live a life that will give him honor and praise. So it's up to you, my brothers and sisters, to realize that God has done everything for you. Our question is, are you willing to accept it? We need more love in the world. And it's available for you. You just got to accept it. Well, my brothers and sisters, we praise God for you. We pray that this word has been a blessing to you. As always, if you do us, if you want to know more, you can come back to the same phone number on Monday nights from 8 o'clock to 9. We have the Stores speaking about oneness and marriage ministry. Then from 9, Minister Leah Killings. Then it's yours truly on Wednesday nights. On Thursday nights, you have Bishop George Flint. And then on Saturdays, starting at 5 o'clock, Minister Amos Joseph Collins. So you can call back the same number any of those times, and God will be sharing a word through one of these mighty men or women in the gospel. We're going to end in this song just saying, thank you, Jesus. As always, peace and love, Willie J. Van Jr.
Wipe away my my past, and anyone could tell this kind of love has got to last, last. So I tell you, Jesus, thank you. I wanna tie you, Jesus. Thank you. I wanna tie you, Jesus. Thank you, yeah, for being mine, mine, mine. Remember. How I wished that he was mine.
You know what I did?
Had a little talk with the man upstairs. I said, Lord, won't you please come inside? In the whole wide world for me, but you.
truth that's been deleted. Oh, what a shame. Seems like everything we hear is just a tale. But I've got the thing that will never ever fade. It's gonna
spread love.
Oh, it's gonna spread tonight.
Spread love.
The truth is in the sky.
I've often said love could open any door.
Oh, but I wish we had much more. They have subscriptions to the gossip magazine. With a twisted sense of vision, they say rumor like religion. Now what a shame. That's the same old way. Oh, these days it seems like everything's